Today on Real Radio.
There's overwhelming evidence of a global flood, for example. That's why there's debates. If there was no evidence, there wouldn't be a debate. As I said before, there's brilliant scientists on both sides of the argument, so it has nothing to do with intellect. It has everything to do with what you choose.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. The author of this epistle uses many analogies, agriculture, anatomical, political, and so forth. In the passage we're looking at now, which is chapter 9, by the way, we find military metaphors. Why? Well, because whether we like it or not, the true believer is engaged in war. It may be spiritual indeed, but it is warfare nonetheless. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a multi-part series called SWAT. Special weapons and tactics.
Your Christian battle is not based upon your own power. It's based upon the power of God, as we shall see. Can you cry? I don't mean with tears. Can you cry out? Can you say, God, help me? Remember one of the shortest prayers in all of the Bible? I think it's one of the most important prayers in all of the Bible. I think God tells us to keep our prayers short, by the way. I really believe that. And Peter prayed the most effective prayer I've ever heard prayed. Peter steps out of the boat to meet Jesus. He's doing great. He starts to sink. And he says what? Lord, help! Now that's a prayer. Christian, can you pray that prayer? Listen, our special weapons and tactics have been given to us by God. They're not our own. And many people try to attack the temptations of the flesh with what they think is their own strength. It's not predicated upon us. It's not empowered by us. Paul says, I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. This is an awesome declaration of sarcasm to the Corinthian church, because they were listening to the attackers that were saying, Paul's a loser. I mean, come on. Paul, have you guys seen him? He's a little tiny man. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say this, but church history records that Paul was a very, very, very short man. We don't know how short. Some estimate 5 feet tall. Regardless, history says he's just a short man. History tells us that he had a bald head but long hair in the back, that he had eyes that were close together toward his nose, a long hooked nose. History tells us he was not fun to look at. That he was bow-legged on his journeys of his Christian life, transportation-wise. He must have ridden a horse a lot or a camel. He was severely bow-legged. And on top of it, history tells us that his voice actually was painful to hear. But could that guy write? So his attackers were saying, have you seen Paul? There is no way that Paul could be of God. Look at him. You know how the world judges everything according to appearance? Do you remember Israel did that with King Saul? Oh, isn't he tall? Isn't he handsome? Isn't he just great to look at? We want him to be our king. Paul, when he wrote, he could shake the world. But when he spoke, it kind of must have sounded like nails going across the chalkboard. And he was being attacked for that. There is no doubt, and cheer up for all of us who are weak today, that God's strength resides upon the weak. That's one of our great special weapons and tactics. Any man who sees, or any woman who sees themselves somehow exalted and God is somehow blessed and favored to have them on his team, will not progress much in this spiritual war. But any man or woman who understands, I can't swat, no pun intended, a fly, that's where God's power will come, because God will be glorified in that weakness. And Paul looked weak, but inside, Paul was a tornado. Paul was a lion. And he trusted God because it was clear for Paul to look into a pond or a mirror of polished brass in those days and to see the reflection of himself and say, oh my, oh me, oh my, I'm a pitiful thing. But God's power is upon me. And he reminds the Corinthians, remember the meekness and the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a cool thing. Church, are you guys with me? Are you listening? Jesus, listen, Jesus Christ, God come in flesh to earth, God veiled in human flesh, born in a cave-styled manger in Bethlehem, laid in a feeding trough called a manger, grows up in a carpenter shop, learns how to use a saw, a hammer, a mallet, a plane, build furniture. Jesus knew how to wear an apron for his carpentry work, learning under the leadership and the skills of his journeyman father, dad, that is, Joseph. And Jesus learned all this, and Paul is awesome to play off of it. Is Jesus' power in doubt? The Corinthians would say no. Paul would say, was Jesus some incredibly impressive personality that walked into the town and everybody just gave it up and surrendered? No, he was meek and he was gentle. And yet he's using the very example of Christ to make and stake his claim that the power of God was upon Jesus, the power of God rests upon God's servants, and the power of God was upon Paul. And he issues this, look at it there. At the latter end of verse 1, he says, who, speaking of himself, in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. That's a sarcasm. Paul's a mouse in public presence, but boy, he writes, and that was the criticism circulating around the Roman world. Paul is somehow an imposter. Somebody else must be writing this stuff because just look at him. And the temptation was to the Corinthians, don't follow this guy. Are you with me now? That's a spiritual war. Do you understand that? Are you Christian? Don't raise your hand. Are you Christian today? Yes. Have you, in any way, shape, or form, stood for Jesus? Have you said anything for Jesus? I mean, look, at Halloween, have you ever handed out tracts when you give out a Twinkie or whatever, a Snickers? Someone's going to say, what are you doing this for? Hey, man, keep your religion to yourself. I mean, how simple could that be? You're not preaching. You're just handing out a tract. And somebody might say to you, now 10,000 people might say, thank you very much, and be on their way. One person criticizes your stand for Jesus, and doesn't it feel like it's the 10,000 coming against you? You want to know why? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Why is it that some of you are too scared to share Jesus with somebody? Because you are succumbing to the spiritual pressure that the enemy is to, listen, he can't take your salvation. I can't take their salvation. They're saved. They're in the arms of God. They're in the hands of Jesus. They're in the hands of the Father. They're sealed into the day of redemption. I've lost them, the enemy would say. What am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I'll neuter them. I'll sterilize them. So I lost them. But I'll make sure that they're completely impotent from sharing the gospel with someone else. So I lost them, but I'll keep them silent so they can't tell others about the love of God. Because Satan hates you. Satan hates the lost. He hates God. He's a defeated foe. And like we learned last Wednesday night, the only thing he can do to inflict the heart of God is to go after what God loves, and that's a lost and broken world. And it's the church who he's redeemed, and Satan hates the church. He hates you. And that's a very serious thing. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, Paul says there to the Thessalonians, Thessalonica, still a beautiful city today. Isn't that awesome? You can visit that on tour. But we were gentle among you. Listen to him. Just as a nursing mother cherishes her own child. He's talking about ministry. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. because you had become dear to us. Church, this is the great apostle. He's a lover of men's souls. Where did he learn this? From Jesus. Galatians chapter 1 tells us that Jesus taught Paul this stuff. He's gentle, he's meek, he's a lover of the souls of men. But legalism hates that. Organized religion can't stand that. They want to control you. They want to tell you what to believe, how to believe, and when to believe it, how to conduct yourselves. God says, you come and follow me. Jesus says, follow me. That's all you need to know today. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Well, how about this? Everything in this Bible, everything, this is fun. Ooh, I revel in what I'm about to say. Everything in this book that has been fulfilled thus far has been historically accurate, and the world knows it. Why should you be a Christian? Because it's historically accurate. No other religion can say this. Think of it. Why do you think there's a great debate between evolution and creation? Why? Think. There's overwhelming evidence of a global flood, for example. That's why there's debates. If there was no evidence, there wouldn't be a debate. There's brilliant scientists on both sides of the argument, so it has nothing to do with intellect. It has everything to do with what you choose. One is gloriously convenient and one is horrifically inconvenient. One gloriously convenient is God loves me and gave his life for me that I might have eternal life. Heaven awaits. Praise the Lord. I get to start life all over again the moment I believe that. The other one says, no, we're going to bank on the fact that there's nothing out there. We can keep living the way that we want to live. We don't have to answer to anybody. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And oh boy, I sure hope we're right. Think of it. Paul comes along and says, we're extending the love and the grace of God. That's how God is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 shows us and lets us in on this manly heart of this apostle. Listen to this. You just read how tender he is a moment ago in Thessalonians. Now listen to him in Philippians. Beware of dogs. Now, I'm sure Paul loves dogs. That's not the kind of dog he's talking about. Look at that verse. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the what, church? The mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. He's talking about the very same guys who were bugging him and torturing him regarding the Corinthian believers. Watch this. Who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You hear that? Guys, leave that up on the screen for a moment. This needs to sink into our hearts. Listen to this. These words, beware of dogs, Paul is speaking to the church and he's announcing to the church at Philippi, watch out for false believers. They're everywhere. There's more now, by the way, in the 21st century than there ever has been. Wake up, Christian. Put your armor on. Listen. Beware of evil workers. They work hard. The word is, they have profound efforts, resources. They seize every opportunity to spread aberrant or false doctrine. Have you noticed how hard the cults work? Do they work maybe more than you and I do? And we have the truth. You say, that's a terrible thing to say. I didn't invent that. Jesus said it. Jesus says the children of hell travel land and sea to bring one convert. And when they convert that person to their views, they make them twice the child of hell than they are themselves. Jesus Christ said that. Look at this verse. Beware of the mutilation. Now, what comes to your mind when you hear the word mutilation? I think of blood. I think of disfigurement. I think of torture. I hope you can handle this. I know it's early, but this is truth. This is Bible truth. Mutilation, I think you'll be able to put it together, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. He's not talking about the flesh. You see, the Judaizers, they said, listen, we follow Jesus, but we're a little bit more holy than Paul. And the people who listened to his presentation of the gospel, you need to be like us. Oh, okay. All right, well, that's great. Why don't you come to our meeting? Okay. And take a bath before you come. Oh, okay. And then you show up, and they say, all right, if you're going to be holy like us, we got to cut some skin off. They actually did this physically. So you need to get your skin out. We'll have a ceremony. I'm dead serious. I know this sounds funny, but no man in here is laughing. And we're going to cut off the skin. And then you'll be in our club. And you'll be holy. And by the way, the more skin we cut off, the more holy you are. Do you hear me? That's the mutilation. This is still true today. You meet these standards and you get your little pamphlet checked in the boxes when you meet all the goals, when you jump through these hoops and you get your happy star face, now you can graduate to the next level of whatever. Let's cut some more skin off. This is horrifically graphic, and it's supposed to be. If somebody comes along to you and says, listen, how are you going to get to heaven? Think of this. Jack, how are you going to get to heaven? Watch. Are you guys listening? If I were to die today, and I stood there, and Peter came walking, I don't know why we talk about this, but Peter comes out and says, hey, how are you? Great. Who are you? I'm Jack. Never heard of you. I'm the pastor at Calvary Chapel. Never heard of it. Listen, I believe in God. A lot of people do. None of those answers will work. I could say, I raise people from the dead. You could say that. Jesus said in Matthew 7, people are going to say that. Did you know that? Matthew 7, beginning at verse 20. I cast out demons. Peter's going to go, okay, whatever. Anyway, what? So what? That's not how you get into this place. Do you know what the answer is? I'm a sinner saved by Jesus Christ on the cross, died for my sins. And Peter might say, you want to add anything to that? No. All right. Dude, come on in. Ha ha! Did you hear that? You put your faith in Jesus and what he did, and the Holy Spirit circumcises our hearts. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 tells us that he is not a Jew. The word Judah, it means to worship God. Paul says, look, Paul's a Jew in the flesh, right? Talking to a bunch of Italians in Rome. In the book of Romans. And he says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a true Jew whose circumcision is of the heart, not of man's hands, but by the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? I pray this morning that's setting someone free in here. Pastor, are you saying that all of my hard works to impress God to get me into heaven is trash? Yes. That doesn't get you into heaven. But if you say, I have trusted Jesus Christ with my soul based upon his sacrifice at the cross for me, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I bring nothing to add to his work, for nothing can be added to his work. And whatever happens or whatever you bring to the table of appreciation or acts of thanks is besides the point of salvation. Fruit should be in our lives, But ladies and gentlemen, the thief on the cross immediately went into the presence of the Lord and he had no works. He believed in Christ. People can still be converted and received into glory on their deathbeds. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation who are part of this grand spiritual attack to breed false doctrine among your life and your heart to get you ever so slightly off course that over time you'll miss heaven altogether because you'll forsake doctrine and go after aberrant doctrine. You know what? In fact, guess what? The unforgivable sin, does anybody know what it is? The Bible says Jesus Christ died for all sins. All sins. But there's one sin that is unforgivable. And I'm wondering if you know. I'll give you a hint. Well, I'll give you, first of all, before I give you the hint, it's not murder, it's not adultery, it's not fornication, it's not homosexuality, it's not robbery, it's not abortion, it's not suicide. It's the doctrine of the Pharisees that Jesus said was this, that what Jesus did in his life and ministry and the fact, this is getting deep now. Who rose Jesus from the dead? Yes. The Bible says the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Are you with me? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin. What is that? It's not to believe the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which is what? Who's the author of the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting? To believe an aberrant doctrine is to sin against the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said will not be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. Oh my goodness, why? Because it's the doctrine that you're holding on to that's wrong. You're following cult thinking or cult doctrines. Doctrines like that knock on your door. Jesus is not the Son of God like you Christians say he's Gabriel, the angel. Or he's the Son of God, I'm the Son of God, you're the Son of God. Oh, we all get to be the Son of God. False doctrine. Do you hear this? You say, Pastor, the church is not going to grow if you keep talking like this. I don't care. This is true. And there's a spiritual war to undermine the Bible. They will not succeed. God's word will never return void. But there's a lot going on in the name of church under a cross in the name of Jesus that has nothing to do with the Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's a multi-part series taken from chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, which speaks of the spiritual warfare in which the true believer is engaged. SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics, is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series by Pastor Jack is available on DVD. It's a 4-disc set that goes by the same title, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. And here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 4-DVD series. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.